Taking a look at baseball now, you know, minor league baseball almost died in the early 1940s. Many players left the diamond, and professional players left the diamond after being drafted for World War II, but help was on the way. Women stepped up to the plate and kept the sport alive. Thanks for staying with us here on the Ideas Network. We'll spend the next 40 minutes or so talking about the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. And we're going to hear about some Wisconsinites, many of them who played in the league, and how their memory is honored today. Tracy Sunday is one of our guests today. She's reunion chair of the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. Tracy's also the granddaughter of Joyce Hill Westerman, who played in the league between, well, let's see, I think it was from 1945 to 1953. Tracy Sunday, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you, Larry. I'm so excited to be here and to talk about the league and the reunion. And my grandma, so thank you so much for having me.
Well, great to have you here. With me in the studio, John Nundorf. John is an image researcher for the Wisconsin Historical Society, but he recently authored a really interesting article about the history of women in baseball. John grew up in Racine, and there was some women baseball action around Racine parts for sure. John, great to have you with us as well.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Excited.
So, did you grow up hearing stories from your mother or your grandmother or your aunt or your great aunt about women in baseball? Maybe tell us why you love the sport. You can give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. John, let's start with you, I guess.
Sure.
Take us back to the pro sports scene in the late 30s and 40s. Generally, how popular was baseball at that?
Major League Baseball was really popular at the time. My article kind of starts talking about the 1941 season when you had Joe DiMaggio having his 56-game hitting streak and Ted Williams batting 406. Like, huge accomplishments that, you know, nobody's even matched to this day. And then by 1943, both of those players were off to war, not on the field anymore. So, you know, this left this a big hole in baseball, which was, you know, really just coming back from the Great Depression and kind of back to its popularity level. But then the war hit and it was in danger again.
So. Yeah. And women typically at that point played softball.
Yep.
And I really found you have a little segment there on the history of how softball got started.
Right, yeah, the indoor baseball, right.
Yeah, tell that story because I wasn't really familiar with
it. Yeah, it was around 1900, I think, and some a yacht club, I think it was, wanted to, in Chicago. It was in November, and they wanted to play some baseball, but it wasn't very nice outside, so they tried to do it inside, and they just tied a boxing glove into a ball and used a broomstick for a bat, and they just had shorter bases. And people got word of this, and it sort of caught on, and people started playing kitten ball or softball, they called it, when they played it outside.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Why did the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League form, or how did it?
Well, that was Phil Wrigley was the owner of the Chicago Cubs, and he was worried that when the World War II started that either there would be no players to be had for Major League Baseball or fans wouldn't come to see, you know, the game without the big star players who were gone off serving in the war. So he kind of had a little committee come together and come up with a solution, and they decided women's baseball, women's softball, actually, at first.
Yeah.
They wanted a professional softball league.
And then at some point it turned into baseball.
Yeah, partway through that first season in 1943, they decided, well, people can see softball anywhere. And the rules were a little bit different. There were only 9 players on a team instead of 10 that they have in softball, and could lead off, and the base paths were a little bit longer than softball. So they said, well, this isn't really softball, it's baseball. And the name of the league actually changed several times throughout the 12 years to kind of try to reflect that they were different from softball, and what they were playing was actually baseball.
And many of the women's baseball teams were centered in the Midwest. For
right,
sure.
For the first two seasons, half of the league was in Wisconsin. There were teams in Rockford, South Bend, Kenosha, and Racine. And then in 1944, there was a team added in Milwaukee and a team added in Minneapolis. So it was still three of the six teams were based in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and those games were, how well attended were they?
I think they were pretty popular, in Racine especially. Racine and Kenosha, for sure, I know were quite popular. Milwaukee didn't really get the support that you might expect from, they were a championship team, but the fans just didn't turn out.
And we'll get into that as we move along in the show. But I want to turn to Tracy. Tracy, I haven't forgotten about you. Sorry for waiting so long to get you involved here. Your grandmother played in the professional league, and her name, I mentioned it earlier, but it's Joyce Hill Westerman. Tell us a little bit about your grandma, Joyce.
Yeah, my grandma was a fearless woman, and she played in the league from 1943 to 1952. And over that course of time, she played with five different teams. So she played with Grand Rapids, South Bend, Fort Wayne, Peoria, and Racine. She actually won the championship her last year. She played in 1952 with the South Bend Blue Sox. So that is a huge memory was a huge memory for her, and you know, something that she always shared with us, and a kind of a good way for her to go out of the league. She was a catcher for a majority of the time, and then the last few years started playing more outfield, and was actually the first baseman with South Bend. So contributed in many different ways. Born and raised in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and had her family here, and half of her grandchildren also still live here.
So what were her stories like? You must have had, it must have been fun for you as a kid.
Yeah, some of my best memories are with her playing baseball. I remember, you know, my sisters and I have three sisters, we all played softball. And she would take us out to the ball diamond. And I'm not joking when I say she literally, like, drilled line drives at her head until we got every single one of them. but it was fun. We got to play in the dirt. We got to hang out with Grandma. And I also had the opportunity in 1992, when A League of Their Own, the movie, came out. She went over to Germany, where my aunt and my other cousins were living. And the movie was premiering at that time, and I was with her, and I got to join for the premiere of the movie in Germany. And I'll tell you what, they honored her and celebrated her like she was any other celebrity.
That is very, very cool. So the legacy she left behind, probably a legacy certainly for the women in your family, but female athletes in general, a little bit. What do you think?
Absolutely, 100%. So she, just in Kenosha alone, after she finished her career with the All-American Girls, she continued to play in the leagues around the city. She actually played with my mother, so they would actually play together. My mom went on to play ball in college as well at Carthage College here in Kenosha. And my grandma would help coach the Carthage teams. She helped coach a lot of the women's local teams. So, you know, really continued to kind of be a trailblazer and helped to make sure that women here in the community had the same or similar opportunities as she did. So, you know, definitely a very strong woman. I think she had to be. I think all the women did. I mean, they played before Title IX, which means there was a lot of adversity to what they did. And so they want to continue to make sure those opportunities happen.
For sure. John Nondorf, image researcher for the Wisconsin Historical Society, one of our guests, he's written a really nice piece about the history of women's baseball. Tracy Sunday, our guest, she's the reunion chair of the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. And you can join in, too. The number to call, 800-642-1234. You can email us as well. And the email address, ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. And the Kenosha Public Museum, by the way, just to mention, will be doing a display about your grandma.
Yes, absolutely. We actually just dropped off a lot of the memorabilia we have from her, one of those being a player's jacket as well as a Peoria Red Wings original hat. We have some of the Kenosha Comet yearbooks there and some of the programs as well as some of the contracts that she actually signed with Philip Wrigley. So all of that will be on display. It is part of the Kenosha Public Museum, and the display is actually going to be next door at the Civil War Museum, and that is free for entry to see the display.
And that'll be up for a while? I'm sorry. Will it be up for a month or 2 months or?
I think they're just keeping it up for the week through the reunion.
So, of course.
Tomorrow, and I think the last day will be the following Monday.
Oh, so it's something that you need to get over there. don't waste any time thinking about it. You better get over there, and this reunion is going to be a lot of fun to talk about as well with our two guests. And just a reminder, John Nondorf is an image researcher for Wisconsin Historical Society, Tracy Sunday, reunion chair of the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. I see we've got Jody in Oconomowoc maybe calling in with a question. What about you? If you have a question or comment or hopefully an experience to share, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address, ideas@wpr.org. We are going to take a quick look at the news. We'll find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. Then we'll be back with John and Tracy. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Clara Neipert's our producer today, and Trina LaSousa, our engineer, here for the Ideas Network. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about the history of women in baseball and how these athletes are being celebrated today. Here in the studio with me, John Nondorf is an image researcher for Wisconsin Historical Society, who recently authored an article about the history of women in baseball. It's a fascinating article as well. I'm going to tell you how you can take a look at it. We're also grateful to have Tracy Sunday with us. She's a reunion chair, or the reunion chair, of the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League, and is the granddaughter of Joyce Hill Westerman, who played pro ball from 1945 to 1953. So I hope you'll join in, share what you know about Wisconsin women in baseball. Do you know a woman who played baseball in the 40s or 50s? You can give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234 or email to ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And you know what? Jody in Oconomowoc's been waiting a bit, so let's give Jody a chance to join in. Thank you for waiting, Jody. What's on your mind?
Thank you for taking my call. I had the luck and privilege of teaching with a high school teacher who was a member of the league for women. Her name was Magdalene Mame Redmond, born in Waupun. I went to school there, and she was in the league from 1948 through, I think, about 54 or 55, and she played with Kenosha Chicks and the Grand Rapids Comets, I think it is. But anyway, she was a pitcher and a catcher. And her stories that she had to tell about being in the league, that was the best part of her life. Mame was just a consummate athlete and also played other sports when she was in high school, went into the league when she graduated from high school, and then ended up getting a teaching degree and teaching in a couple different high schools in the state before she arrived here in Oconomowoc, where she was a math teacher par excellence, I'm going to put it that way, named did nothing halfway. But anyway, what Maine came before title got into teaching before Title IX hit. So Maine was often recruited by the boys' baseball coaches, to pitch and help coach with the team. And Maine actually threw BP to the high school baseball players, many of whom went on to college scholarships, and a few of them even broke it professional baseball.
No.
But anyway, so the thing is, Maine missed that most of all. You know, had she been around during Title IX, she would have been one of the outstanding athletes, I'm sure, for baseball, and that's kind of Oconomowoc's claim to fame for the amateur, as they said, the amateur for a while, but the Women's American League for baseball. And she was just really a great woman, never married, never had children of her own.
Has she passed away?
She was born in 1920.
Okay.
And she died in She was born in 1930, I'm sorry, and she passed away in 2020, so she died.
Yeah, well, I thank you very much, Jody, for telling us that story. I don't know, Tracy or John, if either of you are familiar with the name.
I don't know that name, no, but a lot of the women had similar experiences after they left the league. They kept playing sports. A lot of them were like gym teachers and education in some form like that.
Yeah. Well, it's too bad she's not around because Tracy, she could have attended your event.
Yes.
And you're a part of the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League organization. What's the mission of that organization?
Yeah, so I'm an associate member, and the mission of the organization is to keep the history and the stories and be the record keeper of all of that information for the league, as well as making sure that we are giving opportunities for other women in sports. And one thing that I'm super excited about as part of this reunion is we actually have the USA Women's National Baseball Team coming to town to do an exhibition for us. They are going to be playing the American Girls Baseball, which was founded by Sue Zippe, who is actually also a former GPBL player. So her team will be dressed as the Kenosha Comets, playing the USA national team. It'll be an exhibition game that is open to the public, so no ticket required for the game. And I am super excited to see these women play.
So the date for that then is?
That will be Friday, August 4th.
Friday, August 4th. So coming right up here.
Yep. And they'll be playing at 3, taking the field at 3:30 p.m.
So, John, maybe you can talk a bit more about the notable players from the Women's National League.
Sure. Well, the woman who made the cover of the magazine that my article appears in is Sophie Curris, and I think she's my favorite player. She stole 201 bases in one season in 203 attempts. That was in 1946, playing for the Bells. She was on the championship team for the Bells, and I mean, no Major League Baseball player, men's Major League Baseball player, has even come close to that. There was Joanne Weaver, batted 429 in 1954. It was a shorter season than the men have, but 429 is pretty remarkable. There was Connie Wisniewski, who pitched for the Milwaukee Chicks in 1944, and she was the winning pitcher in all four of the series wins for the championship. which has never been done before. There's some really remarkable accomplishments by some players here.
You know, when I think about stealing 202 bases, and with the attire that she had, which was basically, well, describe it.
They wore skirts. They had shorts underneath, but
yeah.
Yeah, they were kind of fashionable skirts.
And so I think you even comment in your article about
the strawberries. They had to slide into base and
slide into bases with just skin.
Yep. Yeah, they got scraped up pretty good.
Oh my goodness me. And the shorts, that was part of the selling of women's baseball at the time. That was Phil Wrigley's idea, I think.
I think he liked the idea of the women looking very feminine but playing hard baseball. Like you wouldn't expect to see like these very feminine looking women going out and just playing this game that you're used to seeing men play at a really high level. And that's what he did.
Tracy, you mentioned the movie, The League of Their Own, and I'm sure you've watched it probably more than once. In your mind, how it's a movie, but how closely does it match up with, in your mind, with kind of what your grandma talked about?
Yeah, so I've asked my grandma about that many times, and she thought that Penny Marshall did an amazing job creating the movie. She'll laugh sometimes and say things were dramatized a little bit, and, you know, there's things like the, you know, the male coaches would never enter the women's locker room, but you got to make a movie fun, right? but she thought that it really represented the hard work that the ladies put in and their ability to draw crowds. One other thing I also want to add about the reunion that I'm super excited about is that at that USA National game at the historic Simmons Field in Kenosha, we have Ann Ramsey and Patty Pelton, who were two of the original actresses from the movie A League of Their Own, that will be joining us and signing autographs during that game. And then we also have at the banquet our closing for the reunion, which is private to the association and players. But we have Ms. D. Wrigley Miller joining us, who is Philip Wrigley's daughter. And she's going to be providing a reflection on what the league and the movie also means to her. So some super cool opportunities for our community and for the association.
That's great. How do you know? You must have some idea about how many will be attending your event over the weekend.
Yeah, so we're hoping to draw a big crowd at Simmons Field. So please come out, see these women play. You will not be disappointed. That's open to the public. We also have other events that are just for the association. So we have about 150 people registered for those private events. Of those 150, we do have 10 original players that will be joining us. There unfortunately is only about 40 players left with us today, and of that, about 20 that are able to travel. So we feel very blessed that we'll have those 10 ladies with us.
Oh, I would imagine so. That's pretty cool. John, is this something you're going to attend?
I'll be at the banquet. Yeah, I'll be there.
You've got a really nice piece
that
you've written. I very much enjoyed reading it. First, how did you happen to come? What was your interest in this, or how did it develop?
Well, being from Racine, I kind of heard about the Bells growing up. I had my Aunt Mary was a real good ball player. She was a little young to be All-American League, but she was a real good softball player, and she knew some of the former players. And so it was something I grew up knowing about. And I started working for Wisconsin Magazine of History in 2002, so I've been there for a long time. I've written several articles, and my editor, Sarah Phillips, suggested, hey, write something about baseball. So I realized it was the 80th anniversary of the league. I saw that nothing had ever been written in the magazine about the All-American Girls League. And I thought, well, there are other people who are more qualified than me. So I actually read Mary Fidler's book, The Origins and History of the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. And that's really the book on the league. So after you read that, you can also be an expert. So I just decided that it was time.
Vicki in Eau Claire has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, Larry. Just a comment. About 30 years or so ago, I had the privilege of meeting a woman, I don't recall her name, who actually got her picture on the Wheaties box for being in the league.
Ooh. A Wheaties box. So there, I didn't realize one of the players had made the Wheaties box. Tracy, are you familiar with that?
I am not, but I am Googling at the moment.
Yeah, I want to know who that was.
And John's wondering, too. Yeah. Well, so it was about 30 years ago. Vicki, thanks. We're on it right now. I'm sure we'll all be searching to see who that person was. And you got to meet her. So that's pretty cool. Oh, gosh. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the players themselves. I mean, there were, John, as you wrote, they're pretty much white.
Yep. Yeah, they were all white women. I mean, there were a few players who came from Cuba, but they were light-skinned players. At the 1947 season, they had held spring training in Cuba and recruited a few players there.
And you wrote about the league's LGBT players as well, and there were some a percentage of the women.
Yeah, it's impossible to know how many really were, but... yeah, I mean, certainly there were some players who were LGBT.
Yeah, and they were kind of, we're told
that,
not.
Oh yeah, it was the times. It was the 1940s. People could be arrested for that. So in the league, they were necessarily closeted. You know, so.
Yeah, it had to be. Janice in Antioch, Illinois. We go to you next. Hi, Janice.
Hi, Larry. I remember visiting my. Uncle, whose sister was Alice Kolsky, and all I can remember, because I was quite small, was during the war, and her, I thought they said Bloomer Girls. Was there such a team?
Yeah, there were Bloomer Girls. They did, like, barnstorming leagues, and that's one of the things that Wrigley tried to not associate with, because they were seen as kind of bawdy. Like, they played with men, and I think they thought the women were sort of an exhibition. So Wrigley wanted to focus on the sport.
Interesting, Janice. Thanks very much for adding that. One of the things about the league, in terms of financially, women were, I mean, compared to other jobs,
they made good money.
Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Well, a lot of these, they were very young. There was one player who was 28, and she was referred to as grandma. So these were young women, and they were making the equivalent of what, at least the equivalent of what a factory worker would make. So they were making as much or more than their parents in many cases.
And sometimes sending money home for them.
Most likely, yeah. I'm sure, yes.
Oh, man.
There too, if that's okay.
Yeah, pop in, Tracy.
So, all right, awesome. So my grandmother, I actually have, going through some of the boxes when I was younger, I actually found letters where she was negotiating her contract between her and Philip Wrigley. So she would actually go back and forth with him through letters on what she was going to make for that season. So I thought that was so cool. I remember going to her, I'm like, Grandma, you were writing and negotiating your contract? She's like, absolutely. I was going to make sure I got the top dollar.
That is a great story. And so, boy, I bet you've hung on to that. So you've got the letters from your grandma and Phil Wrigley.
Yes.
That's cool.
That is very, very cool. Well, we got another question or two about the reunion from listeners. So let's go back to that. And just give us the rundown, Tracy, of sort of the event and then the portion of it that any of us could go and take part in.
Yeah, So we kick off on Thursday, so this coming Thursday in the evening. So we will have a welcome reception for the players and the associate members. We actually have Kenosha County Executive Samantha Kirkman that will be joining us and kicking off the reception with doing a proclamation to make it Kenosha Commons Day and honoring all the players that will be in attendance. After that, we're going to participate in a little baseball trivia, throwing in some mix of current, past baseball, as well as women's baseball. And we have some local musicians that will also be playing for us. And then going into the next day on Friday, we will be staying at the Stella. So we have a brunch, again, for the associate members and players. And then after that, we will be heading to the ballpark for the USA National versus All-American Girls game, which is open to the public. We will have...
Now, that's Friday night, right?
That's Friday at 3:30 p.m. at Simmons Field.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. I just want to make sure we have the time in there at Simmons Field.
For sure, for sure. And we'll have Ann Ramsey there and Patty Pelton from A League of Their Own signing autographs. So don't miss out on that and seeing these women play. There is also, so we'll have a full day at the ballpark, there is also a Kingfish, a Kenosha Kingfish game at 6:35 p.m. You do need a ticket to enter that game, but the USA national team during the Kenosha Kingfish game will be doing a meet and greet and signing autographs. And that is also Friday night at 6:30 p.m. at Simmons Field.
All right. So,
go ahead.
And then the rest of the events will be, I mean, just open to those who are part of the organization.
That's correct.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. And, John, you did say you were going down to the game?
Yeah, I joined the Players Association as an associate member. So I'm going to be there for the banquet.
And maybe the game?
I won't be able to make the game. I'm working my other job that day. So
you've got to work.
I'm not able to make the game.
So... Tracy, why, somebody here is wondering, why are reunions important to keep these players' legacy alive?
Yeah, I think it's extremely important that we continue to honor and share the history of these women. The reunions actually started in 1982. The first one was held in Chicago. And from that point on, they continued to have a reunion every single year. We unfortunately did miss a couple of years due to COVID, but they are back in full swing. And this is my first time ever hosting a reunion, so I am super excited to make sure that we have events that give women opportunities to showcase their skill sets and also make sure that we're remembering the history and the legacy of the past members. And so I think it's important that we continue to, help to make sure that we're bringing light to these opportunities for women. So I'm excited to be part of that.
I bet you are. And John, how do people find your article?
There's an online archive for Wisconsin Magazine of History. You can read it there. You'd have to just Google Wisconsin Magazine of History Archive. You'll find it. Yeah, and you have to be a member to receive the magazine, a hard copy of the magazine. But
you can see it online.
Yep, you can see it free online.
And it's, I'm trying to remember the edition. It's the
summer 2023.
Summer of 20, yeah, of course.
I have it right in front of me. It's spring 2023. Sorry about that.
Spring of 2023. Well, it's a pleasure talking with both of you. John, Tracy, thank you so much for taking time. It was a lot of fun, and... Tracy, I know you're going to have a ball this weekend. John, probably too.
Yep, I'm going to love it.
Thank you so much.
Looking forward to meeting you, Tracy.
John Nondorf, image researcher, his article about the history of women in baseball, and go online and take a look at it. Also grateful to have Tracy Sunday with us, reunion chair of the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League. That was a lot of fun. Her grandmother played, Joyce Hill Westerman. Enjoyed talking with them. I hope you did too. And tomorrow on the show, David Drake and Jamie Knack will be back to talk about the world of wildlife. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. Please stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.